Hey folks, before we get into it, please remember that the stories contained within this podcast are the protected creations of those who wrote them. Any use of these stories without the original author's consent is forbidden, and any similarities between these stories and other works is purely coincidental, unless otherwise noted. And now that you've noted that, let's do a show. To episode 9 of Parallel Words. I am your host, John Jagger. I'm the only host tonight. Okay, please, don't leave. I know Aaron's not here. Don't go. I'm so lonely. Aaron's not here and I'm lonely. Hi, everybody. So, official word from my counterpart, Aaron Green, is that his computer is fried, which is a terrible state for a computer to be in. So, we are going to wish him the best, and we are going to wish his computer the best, and pray for a safe and speedy recovery. Also, I have a small little idea that I'm going to talk to him about that he might be learning from this, because I haven't actually talked to him about it yet, and I don't know when he's going to listen to this. But I would assume he's going to listen to this. I don't know. He might be a fan of the show. He's on it, so I would hope he's a fan. But, you know, I don't always listen to the shows that I'm on, so I don't know. But Aaron, if you're hearing this, I got something to talk to you about. Call me. What's up, man? What's going on? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just keep talking to Aaron as if he's on the show. So no, that's actually not what I'm going to do, and that's not what this episode's going to be. And I'd really like this episode to not be me rambling to myself. So what this show is going to be, you know, what I want this show to be when someone can't make it. And that is, we're going to do a story, darn it, because that's what we're here to do. Now, episode 9 was going to be a topic episode, one where we came up with a topic and, presented it. And it's a little hard to come up with a topic entirely by myself, and it also feels kind of mean to give Aaron homework when he can't be here and have a say, even though he's a teacher and he does that all the time to other people. I'm not going to do it to him. So what I'm going to do instead is Aaron and I both write, obviously, we write for the show. But we do it on our free time, too, as it just so happens. We come up with stories without doing a podcast about them. And recently, I decided to write a story. I found myself a little bit of free time, and all in one sitting, I kind of just carved out a really rough idea. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you what inspired this particular story, and then I'm going to play it. I've recorded it just like we would any other story episode. So the idea for this story actually came while I was at Barnes & Noble, and I was in there, I was writing on my laptop, as I am one to do from time to time, and I had to go to the bathroom, and so I went in and was taking care of business, so to speak, and as usual, whenever you are forced to use a public restroom, you get to see the incredibly terrible things that people have chosen to carve or write on the walls. And I'm going to say, overall, these walls weren't particularly bad. There wasn't anything, you know, super terrible on them, at least compared to most. But there was something that I saw that just really threw me. Someone had drawn a skull on the wall in marker, and they used, like, a Sharpie, and it wasn't a cartoony skull. It was like, I want to draw a serious skull, but it didn't look very good. Not to say that you can't draw with a Sharpie, because there's a gajillion talented artists that would say otherwise, but let's just say a rudimentary person drawing on a bathroom stall with a Sharpie, their version of a scary skull is not very scary. And so while I looked at it, I thought, what is the point of this? Is it Is it supposed to be funny? Did someone really put this up here to be like, I'm gonna draw a scary skull and freak everybody out? People are gonna come in here to go to the bathroom and they're gonna go, ah, skull, right over there. I couldn't figure it out. And I don't know, maybe the person just likes to draw skulls. I've drawn skulls. They're a fun thing to draw, surprisingly. You know what? Go out there. If you don't believe me, try and draw a skull. Right now. I'll wait, and then you can tell me how much fun it was. Because they're fun to draw. That's why pirates use them on their flag. That's not true. It's not true at all. Made that up. So, it just got me thinking about the stuff that people write in bathroom stalls. And there was a part of me that says, well, you know, I've been known to write from time to time. Wouldn't it be funny if I wrote something on the wall, just really in-depth, just really took the time to fill up a wall with cryptic and terrifying imagery so that someone sat down and read it and potentially would be genuinely horrified by what was written on the wall? And I kind of got a kick out of that, so I kind of ran with it. Now, once you hear the story, you are going to realize that the story is not really a horror story. I don't want to give away too much before you hear it. But let's just say it's definitely a supernatural horror story in theme, but it's presented in a very humorous and light way. And at least initially. And so that was very much, you know, I just kind of, when I wrote it, I kind of fell into this, you know, tongue-in-cheek style of writing. In fact, I even kind of wrote it with a British accent in mind for the first little bit. It's weird. It's not read that way, so don't worry, folks, you're not going to hear me doing a weird British accent coming up, but you will hear me do weird accents and voices in this particular one, so you've got that to look forward to. But it turned out a lot funnier than I expected it to. So that is what I ultimately decided upon for this particular story, and it just kind of flowed. And then, ironically, I came up with another idea during a follow-up trip to that very same bathroom, which I'm going to say right now, it's making it sound like I just go into Barnes & Noble to use the bathroom. This is not true. I go there to write, which usually means I buy something from the cafe, which is a coffee more often than not, and that's the reason why I frequently have to go to the bathroom. So it's their own fault, really. What I'm saying is coffee makes you pee. That's what I'm trying to tell everybody right now. That's the crux of it. And so now that we've established that, now that that fact has been lined up, let me go ahead and present you my story for this particular week. I hope you enjoy. Out of Order by John Jagger. If you are reading this, you have quite foolishly chosen to ignore the Out of Order sign on the restroom door. Or perhaps, by some very tragic coincidence, the sign was removed and you have unknowingly entered. Regardless, I'm sorry to tell you that your life is now over. This stall is home to a maleficent being, and they will not suffer any form of intrusion. If you have additional questions or concerns, please know that they are frivolous at this juncture. Please try and enjoy the time you have left. Sincerely, the janitorial staff. I think we are all used to seeing some graffiti or messages carved or drawn in the bathroom stall walls, but this posted message seemed to be a bit much. I had only just sat down when I noticed it posted just above the tissue paper. I guess what struck me as extra odd about it was that this message had been typed and printed. I could understand someone having a bit of fun and writing something silly like this, but to take the time to bring a printout seemed excessive. The restroom had indeed said out of order, but I had chosen to ignore it under the far more universal law of, when you gotta go, you gotta go. I certainly wasn't proud of it, but there is little time for delicacy when the workings of the human body are concerned. I read the note again. I didn't believe it. At least I don't think I did. The whole thing seemed rather ridiculous, really. Still, there was no sense in overstaying my welcome. I finished up, and upon discovering a less-than-necessary amount of toilet paper, I put the janitorial note to better use. I hurried out of the restroom, hoping nobody in the bookstore would notice me. If anyone had taken any notice of my activities, they made no attempt to stop me. I passed through the large double doors and out onto the busy city street. It was late September, and you could feel the edge of fall cutting into the summer air. Actually, the more I walked, the more it seemed to cut. To the point where by the time I got to my car, I was starting to shiver a little. "Must be one heck of a cold front," I said, though I was the only one around to hear it. "What was that?" A voice came from behind me. I turned and realized I wasn't as alone as I had thought. There was a woman behind me, small, elderly, with curly white hair, and pushing a shopping cart that was nearly as tall as she was. "Oh, sorry," I said. "I was just talking to myself, saying how cold it's gotten all of a sudden." She stared at me, like I was as crazy as I felt in the moment. Then she continued pushing her cart away from me. Watching her go, I noticed she had a small wool coat in her arms, though she seemed to be in no rush to wear it. My teeth started to chatter, and I climbed into my car without giving the woman another thought. I started the car, turned the heater on, and sat there rubbing my hands together while it warmed up a bit. After about 5 minutes of sitting there watching people eye me suspiciously, I decided to abandon my weight and just start the drive home. The car never got warm. I froze the entire drive, and by the time I pulled into the garage of my house, I had bundled up inside an old coat I kept in the car. "Beautiful day, eh?" The woman jogging past my house said. Her name was Trish, my neighbor. She was big into jogging and rarely stopped long enough to hold much of a conversation with me. True to form, she was beyond what I could see looking out my garage door long before her words had even registered. So, by this point, the evidence in my mind had built up enough to convince me that something was wrong. I don't know why I didn't just check a thermometer or something, but it had become clear that what I was feeling didn't reflect the weather. I started to head inside, the door creaking loudly as I pushed it forward. But then I stopped. I could hear the sound of clippers coming from outside. I pulled the door shut, walked out of my garage. Knelt down at the edge of my property, with his head buried in a bush, was Phil, my other neighbor. "What's the word, Phil?" I asked. There was a rustle, and Phil popped his head over the bush. "Oh, hello, Mark!" He waved at me excitedly, with his clippers still in hand, then stood, brushed himself off, and held out a hand which I shook. "You're freezing, Mark," he said. "Yeah," I said, noticing all the sweat on his brow. "I seem to be the only one." Phil laughed and put his hands on his hips. "Like my ex-wife," he said. "She always ran a few degrees colder than me. Probably why we split. I was always too hot, and she was always too cold." He started laughing again and then stopped when he saw I wasn't joining in. "Well, what can I do for you?" he asked. I frowned at him. I was hoping you were going to be able to tell me I wasn't going crazy about the weather, I said. "Sorry, Mark, it's probably 80 degrees or so out today. No way you need that coat." I just stared at him, wondering what kind of life-threatening illness makes you feel like it's freezing. Phil must have noticed my look. "But I wouldn't worry, man. I'm sure it's nothing. People can get sensitive about temperatures, you know?" I didn't know, but I offered a smile anyway, and turned to go back into the house. "Hey, Mark," Phil called. I turned and saw him looking past me, to the front of the house. Your family in town?" "No." Phil pursed his lips a little. "Who's the guy in your house?" he asked, pointing towards the front window. I didn't think my blood could have run any colder, but it did. I ran down the drive and turned to follow where Phil was pointing. The front window curtains were moving, but I didn't see anyone there. Phil was still staring, but his expression had changed. "I'm sorry, I thought I saw someone." Phil's voice told me he still thought he saw someone, but now was trying not to scare me. I'm sorry, Mark. You have a good day, eh?" Phil didn't run. Didn't even walk abnormally fast, but everything about the way he moved suggested he was just trying to get away. I turned and stared at the door leading into my house through the garage. It was open. I hadn't forgotten to close it. People in horror movies often seem to make odd decisions. They answer strange phone calls, open doors to strangers, hide upstairs, but most of these things bother us, only bother us, in the context of knowing we are watching a horror movie. What I mean is that we know there are monsters, ghosts, killers, and whatever else hunting these people. It's a lot harder to buy into when it's your normal everyday life. That said, I walked into my house, and as I did, I could almost hear an audience groaning in the theater. There wasn't anything waiting to jump me as I stepped through the doorway, though. I moved to the front door and checked the lock. It was still latched. There were no signs that anyone was in here, and nothing seemed to have been taken. Still, I moved from room to room with a slow and deliberate pace. "Mark, I'm in the living room," came a voice. I nearly screamed. The voice was masculine with a hint of a New York accent, but more importantly, it was a voice I didn't know. "Hurry up," it called again. I stepped slowly into my living room and saw a figure on the couch. He was wearing a nice tailored suit, was mostly bald, and was, well, white as a ghost. "Who are you?" I asked, trying and failing to keep my voice from shaking. "Have a seat, Mark," he said, indicating the chair opposite the couch. I want to know who you are and how you got in here, or I'm calling the cops." The figure just stared at me, his hand still extended towards the chair. He didn't blink. He didn't even seem to breathe. "Yes, I checked. I'm not going to tell you again, Mark." I sat down. "Good. Now we can talk. First off, my name is Marty. You will call me that, or sir, for the remainder of this discussion. Do you understand me?" "Yes, sir," I said. "Please call me Marty," he said. I just stared at him. I wasn't sure if he was trying to be funny or if I should actually amend my statement. "We have a problem," he said, finally. "Do you know what that problem is?"
"No."
"It's a trespassing problem. Now do you know what it is?" It popped into my head right away. Even now, sitting across from this weird gangster-esque ghostly man who somehow broke into my house, it still seemed impossible. "I went into your bathroom?" I guessed anyway.
"Yes, you did, despite warnings not to."
"I'm sorry?"
"I'm afraid that's not how it works, Marky boy," he said, shaking his head. Now I was starting to get angry.
"Well, what else do you want? When you gotta go, you gotta go. And I had to go. That was the only place available."
"It wasn't a very smart choice," he said, still totally calm.
Now I stood up, even angrier. "Okay, I took a shit in your broken stall, I'm sorry, but what are you gonna do about it?"
"I'm going to kill you."
The words just hung in the air. It might have been the weight of those words, or my knees going weak, but I dropped back into the chair.
"I'm not happy about it, Mark," he said, standing. "But rules are rules." I started to shake a little. The cold that had gone unnoticed this entire time returned in full force. How are you going to kill me? That's the question you have for me? He said, folding his arms. Not, who am I? Are you a ghost? How did you get in? Why is it so cold? How do you know so much about me? None of that? I think I have a right to know. My voice is trembling, and he takes another few steps towards me. I want to run, but nothing is working the way it should. Nah, you don't want to know how. It's better you not. I'll tell you what, though. Pick a different question, and I'll give you the honest-to-God truth. Then why? I asked. He smiled, and when he did, the smile was impossibly wide, filled with impossibly sharp teeth. He stopped looking like a gangster in that instant. Now he looked more like a shark in a suit. Because, Mark, he said, taking another step, when you gotta go, you gotta go. Alright, so that is my story for this week. You know, we've got a bit of time. I like to make this show about an hour, and, you know, last time I did a solo show, I made it shorter. And, you know, I think that's good, because me rambling like this is never fun. But I'll tell you what, I have a very short story that I pulled up. This I wrote, actually, quite some time ago. This is old. But it might be fun to go ahead and share with you. This was actually an assignment for one of my creative writing classes. I cannot remember what the prompt was. So, you know, forgive me for not being able to tell you exactly where this comes from. But, it's called Old Tech. And I'm going to go ahead and read this one live. Obviously, the other one, you heard the music, you heard all the production. I'm going to go ahead and just read this one for you. It is very short. It's 316 words. So we'll just go ahead and read this now and get through it. And hopefully you enjoy it. And then we will call it a night and you will have gotten two stories. So, Old Tech by me, John Jagger. Think she'd be upset that we aren't making a bigger deal of all this? Heath asked. Has Karen ever been one to be fussed over? Marcus asked. Marcus had always called their mother by her first name. If it had bothered her, she had never shown any sign of it. Then again, she had never given away much of anything when it came to feelings. Heath leaned back in his chair and took a deep breath that only served to remind him how much he hated the sterile smell of hospitals. He turned and looked at his brother sitting beside him. Marcus was focused intently on his smartphone, tapping a message or something out on it. Do you at least think we should be in there with her? Heath made a gesture towards the room their mother was in. No, I don't. Marcus began to tap noticeably louder on his phone's screen and leaned intently forward as he did. Heath assumed Marcus had moved on to a game or something equally demanding. You know, I upgraded to a new cell phone about a week before the smartphone craze kicked in, Heath said. The tapping on the phone slowed, and Marcus's head turned slightly. The thing was outdated minutes after I got it, but it was a sturdy little machine. It couldn't do apps or internet or any of that, but my calls always went through. So did my texts. Heath rested his hands on his knees and stared silently at his brother. When it died, I got a fancy new smartphone, but I don't really use it. Mostly, I just miss the way the old one worked. His brother set down his phone and looked up. His voice was shaky as he spoke. Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore.
All right. That is old tech. I think the writing assignment might have had to do with using subtext, essentially. The implication for this story, hopefully it's obvious, and I'm explaining this for no good reason, but the implication for this story is the one brother uses his phones as an allegory for their mother, and that is, you know, look, she's rough around the edges, but you would miss her if she was gone, that kind of message. And I think that was really what the prompt was kind of about. That's what my submission was. It is certainly not my favorite bit of work that I did during my time there, but, you know, we don't know how long Aaron's computer's going to be down, and I don't know how many of these I'm going to have to go through before we have Aaron back to keep me focused. So that's that one, and if Aaron's not back next week, I'll have more. Maybe I'll even read something a little bit longer. So that is going to bring us almost to the very end of Parallel Words, but we got an email that I want to talk about, and then we will call it a show. So this email is from Lita, who you may know if you found this show through my WoW show, as we've talked to her, and she is a podcaster herself. She does a World of Warcraft podcast that is about the podcasters. It's called Behind the Avatar. It is an excellent show if you are a WoW fan. If you are not a World of Warcraft player, you know, hey, you can still check it out. I'm not going to forbid you. It just it might not necessarily be your thing. Anyway, she listens to this show, which I greatly appreciate. And she sent us an email, and I want to go ahead and take a minute to read it. Hey, John and Aaron, I just wanted to send a little email to say I am thoroughly enjoying the podcast. Love hearing the stories. Thank you. Couple things I wanted to put to you both. One, would you ever consider having listeners give you some topics to write about? If so, here are some topic ideas for you. And then she lists them. I'm not going to read them because I want to tell you that yes, if you want to send us topic ideas, you are absolutely welcome to do so. In fact, what we will probably do is we will probably take any of the ones that we like a lot, and maybe even some that we're maybe not crazy about, but we at least think will make for good stories, and we are going to make a big list of them. And occasionally, when Aaron and I do the very rambly pick a topic show, if we don't come up with anything crystal clear or nothing we're super happy with, we are going to use our good favorite thing in the world, random.org, to pick a random listener topic. And we'd like to make that something that we do on a regular basis as well. So if you want to submit topics, you are more than welcome to do so, as well as write about the topics that we come up with on the show. We would love to hear your submissions as well. We won't necessarily read them. We'll always ask before we read, you know, some writing that you did. If you want to just entertain us, that's okay. But if you want us to read it, we will. In fact, if you want us to, you know, do the whole thing, do the whole read, you can tell us who you want to read it. You know, tell us what kind of music you want us to use. We do use free use music on here, royalty free music. So it's you can't exactly request what songs we play for it, but we will we'll put music to it, do the whole nine yards for you. And if you want to record it yourself and submit it, that is absolutely fine as well. So that's the topic bit, but continuing with Lita's email. Two, how about mixing up with different voices / people reading the stories? Lita, I'm going to go ahead and assume that you don't mean to say that my voice is terrible for podcasting and you don't ever want to hear it read anything, because deep down I kind of believe that, and so it would just kill me to know that that was true. I will tell you, I love the idea of having other people read the stories. Here is the issue that we run into with having other people read the stories. I've worked with people who are, really good at this sort of thing, professionals as far as voice acting and stuff like that go. And What I have found is that when you ask someone else to read your material, you often have to do it a couple of times. It requires takes, because everybody interprets things differently. Even when I read my own story, sometimes I use it as a form of editing, because as I read it, I will naturally make changes to it as I'm kind of delivering the story. There's a level of impromptu reading in it. So when you have someone else read your words, it doesn't always come out the way you as the author want it, which, you know, sometimes can be entertaining and sometimes fun. It just basically boils down to time, doing this show every week, having something that's going to require someone to read something every week. It makes the recording process of it a lot longer, because it probably means that we're going to have to go back and forth between whoever we get to read it to get a version of the story that we're really happy with. And so, to give you an idea, there have been times where we have come up with a topic, and the very next episode, I have my story done and good to go. There have been other times where it is the day before we will be recording, and that is when I finally finish the recording of my own piece. So there's not a huge window all the time to get someone to read it, so it becomes a bit of a scheduling problem as well with the turnaround time, because you know, it's a week between shows in theory, and, you know, a good chunk of that time is spent brainstorming, and then a good chunk of that time is spent actually writing it, and there's not a lot of time for recording after that. So, all that said, I'm not opposed to the idea. Aaron and I have even jokingly talked about reading each other's stories for an upcoming episode, and I would love to try it if the opportunity presents itself. It's just going to get to a point where things are going to just have to align perfectly. And we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, it's not a bad idea or an idea I'd be opposed to. It's just difficult to do on a regular basis, at least to be happy with how it turns out. Just in closing, she says, well, just a couple ideas, whether you like them or not, I just wanted to share. Of course, we always love ideas. Keep up the great stories, and I look forward to hearing more. Regards, Lita. So, thank you, Lita. That was wonderful. Thank you for writing. You're awesome. You're our new favorite. Officially. I'll speak for Aaron, who was super excited to hear we got an email. In fact, I said, Aaron, we have an email. And I believe his response to me was it a good email or a bad email? good news. It was a good email. It was just fine. If you want to email us, you can do that yourself. Our email address is parallelwordscast@gmail.com. If you want to find this show, or other past episodes and read the sometimes funny little blog that goes with it, that can be found at parallelwordscast.blogspot.com. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at parallelwordspc. That sounds right. You know, search for that. See if you find us. I don't know. Usually we read this stuff, and I'm just totally improvising right now. This is all impromptu stuff, and at this point, it has officially reached John just randomly talking to himself, so that is a show. Good night.